listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
You know, every person born on this earth comes with things about them that don't work so well and things about them that work very well. Those that work very well we call talents. And living our lives here on the earth is a lot about exploring our liabilities and our talents. As you're living your life here, which do you emphasize, liabilities or talents? Do you say, I can't because, or do you say, let's go as far as I possibly can? Today, my guest, Chase Bailey, says, let's go as far as I possibly can, and he's challenging us all to do the same. So welcome to Full Power Living. We're helping the world to realize and work with the importance, power, and mastery of human emotions. We welcome your questions and comments. We have chats on Blog Talk Radio and on emotionalpro.com. You can also call now toll free at 888-498-0570. That's 888-498-0570 to talk with me and with Chase Bailey. And it turns out we also have Chase's mom. We'll be talking with her also, which is a real bonus for this morning. Well, who's Chase Bailey? He's an aspiring chef. As the force behind and the face of the Chase in Your Face cooking show on YouTube, he's attracted the attention of Food Network star Guy Fieri and the Chew's Mario Batali. And he's just come out with the Chase in Your Face cookbook, which we're discussing today. And to do these things, Chase has had to overcome some of those things that don't work so well. And here to encourage all of us to be ourselves and celebrate life is a young man who says at every great celebration, there is food. Chase Bailey, welcome to Full Power Living.
Hi.
Hi. And Mary Bailey, welcome to Full Power Living.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
So, Chase, I thought we'd start out. I know, thank you for taking time to be on Full Power Living today. And I know your everyday life is not like most other people's your age. So how does your life run these days with all that you're doing?
Well, I'm homeschooled. And so my schedule is a little flexible. If I've been doing homeschool, I would sometimes cook even for my homeschool. And once my school's done, I might work a little bit with my mom about cooking.
And, you know, I didn't mention your age on purpose. How old are you now?
I am 14.
You know, I opened the show talking about things that are difficult for each one of us and that we have talents. And your difficulty that you talk about is autism.
Right.
And so when you're diagnosed with autism when you're very young, the chances of you doing the things that you've done in your life so far are not that good. So you've done some remarkable things.
Right.
So, Mary, let me ask you, what kinds of things have you done to help Chase move past the powerful influence of early childhood autism so that he's able to accomplish all that he has been able to do at such a tender age?
Well, I think it's first important to kind of go through some of the symptoms with autism. With Chase's mm-hmm. specific diagnosis with autism, he was diagnosed when he was 2 years old. And with that diagnosis came symptoms like speech delay, cognitive mm-hmm. processing delay. He had challenges with fine motor, which is basically the use of our hands and hand strength. He lacked eye contact. He suffered with visual stimming. So he kind of had a laundry list of symptoms that we were dealing with when he was first diagnosed. So in order to help him overcome those things, one of the most important things that I have to express here is the early intervention. So he was immediately placed in school and started therapies in home and at school, speech therapy, occupational therapies, behavioral therapies. So that's kind of what started it. There were still some areas such as food aversions, which is something that's prevalent amongst those who've been diagnosed with autism. So that was probably one of our bigger challenges. So to help him kind of move into that, Chase took the initiative himself, and he one day was watching television and decided there was nothing else on but the Food Channel. And so he started watching the Food Channel, and from there it kind of opened up his mind, which in turn began to open up his palate. And in order to support that, obviously I started taking him out to try different foods. And this was along about the time, just so you have some perspective. He was probably about 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
It took quite some time to get him to a point where he was wanting to eat food. He would only eat five foods prior to that. So that's kind of the history of, you know, his symptoms and how we started on this journey. And then further to that, he had such a strong desire. Food became almost, and learning about it became almost an obsession for him, to the point that he decided that, hey, I want to have my own cooking show. I want to, there's all of these different things now that, possibilities that he saw for himself. So mm-hmm. in order to support that, we started Chasing Your Faith. And
that's
the rest is kind of history.
So, Chase, I was 60 years old when I started this program. And I know it's a hard job to start a program. You have to learn the technology, and you have to learn to talk and be on your program. But the hardest thing for me was screwing up my courage to invite people to be a guest on my show. What was it like for you?
Well, how I did it was I emailed people, like, straight to them, and sometimes we would have a friend who's pretty good at contacting people.
Mary, could you just summarize what Chase offered me in terms of what it was like for him to invite guests?
In order to get guests on his show, he started emailing. So his first guest was Chef Roy Choi, and we happened to have lunch at one of his restaurants, and so he took it upon himself to ask the waitress for a business card, and later that evening he emailed him and asked him.
Wow.
It was actually his PR person, and asked if he would come on the show, and he got a response the next day, and she said, yeah, he'd love to.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. You learn to ask, and people really are very open to helping.
Yeah, that's what's been so great about this is and a great learning lesson for me, too. So much of the time we spend our lives thinking we have to do it all ourselves. So it's been great to see Chase just proactively ask and see people respond so well.
Yes. So thank you, Mary. Chase, what happened inside of you that you decided you wanted to talk to all these chefs? And how come it didn't scare you so much that you kept yourself from doing it? I think a lot of people would be saying things like, oh, he would never want to talk to me, or who am I to ask this person? What was happening inside of you?
Well, the first time I had Roy Choi, I got kind of nervous because it was a first guest. So it's going to be like, oh, my gosh,
right.
Him. But then when we actually shoot, it was like, hey, what's up? So it's just like I got nervous, but when I actually do, it's like, I'm cool.
So do you think that means that you have a talent for talking with people? And it strikes me that one of the things you have to have is a curiosity. You have to be curious about what the person is thinking, how they are being a chef. Is that so?
Yeah.
And so you got interested in food, and then you wanted to talk with other people who were interested and talk with a lot of people about food. Is that an accurate way of saying it?
Yeah.
So have you been scared to invite anybody since, or are you just on a roll?
No, I'm kind of on a roll right now.
So another person, I know your mom has done a lot for you, and I know how much work that is, Mary. I really appreciate your efforts to help Chase actualize himself. But another supportive person was your grandfather. I understand from reading your book that your grandfather was one of the people who watched those cooking shows with you. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your grandfather.
Well, he is a very awesome guy. He loves to hang out with me. He loves all my family members. He just loves to cook, too.
Oh, good. Oh, so he really encourages you with the cooking. I hear you like dogs, too. I can hear a dog.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm about to grab her. She's we've got some rambunctious ones here.
She wants to talk about food also. So, you know, that's interesting, Chase, because the next question I wanted to explore with you is one of your messages really is about going for life, go as fully as you can be, to celebrate being alive. And that's sort of what your dog was just doing now, too. Is that the way you live your life?
Well, I'm like, yes, I have autism, but I can't live like pretty much everyone else. Like, yes, I have these dogs, and I care for them, and yeah.
Yeah, you know, my son, he's now 39 years old, but he was diagnosed with dyslexia, where he
really
saw things with a different perspective and reversed letters and numbers and things like that. And I suggested to him when he was in college that he get some special help because he had dyslexia. And he said something similar to what you just said. He said, Mom, everybody has something. And I don't want this something to define who I am. So I'd rather not be treated special. I'd rather learn to work with what I have.
Yeah.
This sounds like what you're saying too, right?
Yeah, it's like sometimes you have something like kind of different in you, but like really, you're pretty much like everyone else, too.
Right, right. And you want to be like everyone else. You don't want to stand out and go, look, I have a problem, but I'm really great. You know,
yeah.
That's hard. Yeah. So I really appreciate it. Yeah, go ahead, Mary.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No, I was just going to say, I think part of it, too, is just that there's a I apologize, by the way, for our dogs. They're feeling very rambunctious right now, so I'm trying to round them up here.
Well, I think it's making it a real family show.
Yeah, there you go. This is real life.
Yeah.
But anyways, I was just going to say one of the things that is really interesting about autism, about any diagnosis for that matter, is that, you know, if you are able to find a way to make a difference using that diagnosis to make a difference, I think that makes all the difference in the world for not just yourself but for the people around you. So I think with Chase, going through this experience, he's also drawing a lot of attention to the fact that, hey, you know what, these are some areas of deficit, but you know what, these are some strengths that we have as well. And I think that's important for anyone who has a diagnosis.
I think it's vital for everybody in our world to pay attention to, myself, that just because, you know, I remember one person I had on the show, she called herself differently abled.
Yeah.
I think she was blind, and yet she was able to communicate on the computer and all kinds of wonderful things. And it's time for us to connect with our humanity instead of looking at our differences all the time. Although I wanted to make one statement or one recognition. Chase, if part of your diagnosis was having trouble with fine motor coordination, the fact that you can cook and chop, you must have done a lot of work to be able to do that safely and to enjoy it. Yeah. So,
but I do have, like, these special tools I have.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about those.
Well, I have this chopper that's pretty kind of, it's basically like you're chopping. And like you chop an onion, but it's like you just kind of like take off the ends and cut it in half, and then just put like in the center of like the blades, and then you just push it down. Then you got finely chopped onions.
Oh, nice! So that makes it a lot easier. Well, so if you have a problem, you can. There's usually a solution that helps you in that case, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, all we've been able to find some really great kitchen tools and things of that nature to help him. And even with speech, you know, doing the show is really helpful with his speech because it really helps him focus in on one particular subject, a subject that he's familiar with. And so it helps with the flow of speech and things of that nature. So it's been really great for him in that area as well.
I can't, you know, as I'm listening to you, Mary, I'm thinking how great you must feel to see your son expanding himself so brilliantly, especially given the early diagnosis.
We're coming up.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the most important thing for him throughout this process is just gaining a sense of confidence. And so I think once he, you know, truly felt that confidence, it's actually helped in the process of him developing. You know, he's not shy about things. He's very open about who he is. He doesn't try and, you know, some people who may struggle in speech may not talk as much because they're aware of it. But I love the fact that he's like, hey, you know, this is who I am. And, you know, and he doesn't let that stop him. So I really admire that about him.
Well, you know, there's another thing that comes out here, Chase and Mary, and that is so often in my family, we were a bunch of do-it-yourselfers and everybody tried doing things on their own. Mm-hmm. And what I hear with you is you guys have a team. You have people working together. You're not doing this alone, Chase. Is that right?
Yes, that is right.
Mm-hmm. And how wonderful.
Huh?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I just think it's really wonderful that you can have a team and also that you can allow your team to help you, and that together you guys are really helping you have a really great life. Is that not so?
Mm-hmm.
What's the greatest thing about your life, Chase, right now?
I just love, like, what I am doing right now. I just love cooking. I love that everyone's supporting me, and I love that everyone cares about what I'm doing and loves what I'm doing.
That's really great. You know what I noticed from reading your book is you really like cheese. Is that right?
Yeah.
I do too. This is a beautiful cookbook you've written, the official Chase In Your Face cookbook.
Yes.
So, did you make up the name In Your Face, or was that a team effort?
The book, we call it the official Chase In Your Face cookbook, and it kind of made sense because it was my first cookbook, and the subtitle is Tasty Recipes and Fun Facts to Start Your Food Adventure.
Right. And one of the things I really enjoyed as I was reading it is almost every page you have a fun fact about something. How did you, potatoes were the first food to be grown in space? Here's one. Or do you know the difference between dinner and supper? Or that tortilla chips were introduced in 1950. How did you come up with those?
Well, I just love looking up stuff, people, places, and things like that. I just love going to Wikipedia, learning new things.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's one of his favorite things is to go on Wikipedia. He could do that all day and read facts. And he just loves them, and then he'll come and share them with me. And that's where he got the fun fact on there is because he'll say, hey, Mom, fun fact of the day. And then he'll tell me a fact about something that he learned.
Mm-hmm.
So
that just seems like a really, it really adds to your book. And the book is beautifully done. Now, one of the things I noticed is that your book is published by one of the best cookbook publishers around. How did you get this publisher?
Well, with the help of my mom.
Ah.
They actually contacted us, which was really great. They actually helped put books together, and I actually met this gentleman a while ago. I won't get into the details, but he wound up calling me up and saying, "Hey, you know what? I think you guys should put together a cookbook. Have you thought about that?" And Chase had already had a recipe journal going, and so I talked to him about it, and he was like, "Yeah, I want to do that." So that's kind of what started the whole process.
Right. So that's their name is CBC, and they claim that they're known for teaming up with celebrity chefs and world-renowned restaurants to showcase the best the culinary world has to offer. And that's a quote. So that was a big compliment to be asked by them. I imagine that was pretty exciting.
It was great. I was actually really surprised by it, as was Chase. And, it was such a great way to be able to allow Chase to truly express his creativity. One of the things with children and adults who've been diagnosed with autism is they have so many gifts in that mind of theirs. And although they may struggle with maybe speech or fine motor or things of that nature, it's just a matter of getting what's all of that beautiful information in their head out and helping them to do that. So this cookbook is truly an expression of all of Chase's inner thoughts. And from the fun facts to the illustrations to, of course, all of the amazing recipes, it's all his. And I think sometimes, no pun intended, but we may tend to judge a book by its cover. So if we, someone may see someone who, or hear someone speak or something and not realize, they may judge them by that, as opposed to saying, wait a minute, there's probably something a lot deeper in there if I just take the time.
Yes, and it's really colorful, and the pictures of the food are beautiful. It's just really, really well done. Chase, I know that you've been on other people's shows as well, and you visited other people's restaurants.
That's correct.
And you traveled to England, I believe. So tell us some of the things that doing your show and writing your book have brought to you that you don't think you would have done otherwise.
Well, when I was traveling, I went to New York a couple of times, which was which was pretty awesome for me. And I was on a couple of shows over there. I was on the Meredith Bear Show, The Chew, when I was in England, they had an asparagus festival, because asparagus is like a huge deal over there.
So we
just like thought of a lot of a recipe, because they wanted us to like be like their special chef guest. So we thought of recipes, and then we thought of one, and we shared it with the people over there. So it was pretty fun.
So you took your own asparagus recipe to share with them. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's really wonderful. Traveling really helps you see how much you can do in the world also. So that sounds like
I love traveling.
Oh, do you? Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
So how long did it take you to put your book together? You already had a recipe journal, but, you're young and you've already got your cookbook out. You couldn't have had more than a year to do it. Is that so?
Yeah, it took about 8 months to do it.
Wow. Wow. That's really wonderful. So
thank you.
I want to get back to homeschooling, too. How does cooking help you learn other topics? For example, how does cooking help you with math? Or you travel, how does that help you with social studies?
Well, it helps me with the measurements. Like say that you solve a new recipe, you got to, like, do the math, like, what measurement should it be? Like, it has to be perfect, like a quarter cup, a cup, half a cup. So there's that. And you have to, like, cut up, like, all of these, like, how many onions or tomatoes you have to cut. So.
Uh-huh.
And there's also grocery shopping.
Right, so you learn about money and cost and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and there's also budgeting.
Uh-huh. Wow. So the cooking work you do really helps you with your homeschooling. It doesn't get in the way of it.
Yeah.
I think that's really wonderful. Really, really wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, I think it's time for us to take a break right now. I'm talking with 15-year-old aspiring chef, YouTube show host, and cookbook author Chase Bailey and his mother, Mary Bailey. If you have questions, call us at 888-498-0570 and follow Chase's example and take a risk to express yourself. You're listening to Full Power Living, and we will be right back.
Do you know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us. 4 things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free Emotional Mastery Teleseminar.
Welcome back. You're on Full Power Living. You can call now, 888-498-0570, to talk with my guest today, who's Chase Bailey, an aspiring chef, YouTube host, author of the Chase in Your Face cookbook, and also his mother, Mary Bailey, is with us. And I also want to tell you that next week on Full Power Living, I'm talking with Victoria Bentley, who's a psychologist and author of a book called Surprising Causes of Anxiety and Panic. This is the first of Victoria's book series aimed at helping people end toxic anxiety and heal trauma completely, and she promises to use down-to-earth simple solutions. So be with us next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, and feel free to invite your friends and family to listen too. We've got a lot of wonderful shows scheduled for you. So go to our homepage, emotionalpro.com, and click subscribe, and we'll put you on the list to get notification of our upcoming shows to you. Today I'm talking with a remarkable young man and his mother, who every day Chase encounters his world with curiosity and enthusiasm and courage. He's host of the Chase in Your Face cooking show on YouTube. He's author of Chase in Your Face cookbook. So, Chase, you've already done so much in your life that I'm wondering if there are things that you still find challenging, like sometimes you feel like, oh, this is too much work, or this is overwhelming, or I'll never get this. Do you have any feelings like that?
Well, like I said, like a lot of people with autism will have struggle with their hand strength and fine motor, and some having trouble speaking.
So doesn't that cause you to feel frustrated sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes I'll get a little angry, or I'll get frustrated when I was a kid that my brain won't work, and sometimes I'll just keep on bonking my head like work, work, work. But then mom just told me that everyone's brain works differently, so it kind of made me feel like not so angry. I just feel like, oh, okay, so it's like I'm not the only one whose brain doesn't like that's like. Not like yeah, what I am right now.
Yeah, that really helps. You know, with my moving, I'm now 73 years old, and I've been moving for months, and my son came and helped me on Tuesday. And yesterday, I was so tired and so sore, and I was about to say, it's my age. And he looked at me, and he said, Mom, my body is a wreck, too. You know? So
yeah.
it really does help to realize that it's not an age, it's not a problem that you have. We're just human, and when we do things or when we can't do things, our human selves can get frustrated or upset. So
I think a lot of it too comes from the comparison part. We constantly are comparing ourselves, I think, in this day and age to other people. And if you can just take a minute to look at the things about yourself that are exceptional and that are great, I think that adds to it. And that's what I've tried to do with Chase, is say, you know, it's okay if you're not good at this, and then just share with him the things that I'm not good at. And then we would go right through and talk about the things that he's great at and the things that I'm great at. And, you know,
wonderful.
One of them was just coming up with these amazing recipes, and, you know, all of his creativity that went into this book. I was like, you know, Chase, I couldn't do that. You may have trouble with this, but this is something that you are exceptional at. You know, so
right.
Let's celebrate
right.
that.
Yes. You know, I had a friend who's no longer living, and she cautioned people. She said, there's no reason to make comparisons, because any comparison you make of yourself with another person isn't a real comparison. A real comparison compares everything, and nobody's life is exactly the same as anybody else's. So you can't really compare yourself. And that was always
exactly.
helpful.
Yeah, that's a really great way of saying that.
Yeah. So Mary, I'm curious, you had a two-year-old. Your two-year-old is diagnosed with autism, and you've become very knowledgeable. You know, have you just been studying? Have you just been dealing with Chase? Do you have a background in nursing or speech pathology? What has allowed you to become so conversant and so wise in this area?
Wise. I'm still learning. Still learning. But
that's
I think
wise,
that
right here.
One of the I think one of the greatest strengths that I had was I did come from a large family. I have 13 brothers and sisters, all from the same parents. And so I grew up around children, and you know, we all kind of helped raise each other, and I had fantastic parents. So I think that early introduction to children really helped just in getting Chase his early diagnosis. And then from there, obviously, you know, the world took a little bit of a turn for me. But I think that, you know, anytime you have a child, regardless of whether or not there's a diagnosis that's present, you spend time getting to know your child.
Right.
It's what you do naturally as a parent. If they become interested in baseball and you've never been interested in baseball before, suddenly you learn everything about it, and it just becomes a natural part of being a parent. So I think that's kind of what's guided me through this process with Chase is, you know, autism is a part of who he is, so naturally as his parent, I learn about it, and I learn him and what works for him. So just kind of keeping it simple and not overwhelming myself and feeling like I had to become this doctor really made it easier for me to navigate with him through this journey.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I understand how your family's so good at team play also. If you grew up with 13 brothers and sisters, you grew up on the team. Yeah, that's great. So, Chase, do you have a lot of cousins then?
Yep, I have. I have almost like 30 or so cousins.
Do you teach any of them about cooking?
Sometimes I would cook for a special occasion or an event, and and then yeah. Sometimes they would even help me for my chasing your face thing. Like a few of my cousins were actually in one of my cooking shows once.
Oh, great. See, that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
I was a single parent for 20 years, and one of the things I learned to do was to teach my children to cook and work in the kitchen from very, very young. Like when they were one, they would stand on a chair and cut a banana with a table knife, you know, and they're both grown up, and one of them actually opened her own restaurants, and the other one is the family cook in his family with his daughters and his wife, and I think it's such a wonderful skill to
teach children. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool, and my granddaughters are really... Actually, you'd be interested in this, Chase. I have an 8-year-old granddaughter named Ava who is now making meals for her family. She enjoys cooking so much, and her mom is helping her the way yours helped you.
Really? That's awesome.
Isn't that great?
That is.
Her sister is the traveler. She and I went to Ireland together when she was 8, and she gave a speech at a conference. So I'm bringing that up because part of your message in your book, it's written in your book, is, you know, let's go for it. Let's not hold back on who we are. Is that a fair way of saying what you're wanting people to know?
Yeah. It's
So maybe I can help you here. What is it that you have learned about taking what's inside of you and putting it out on the earth, in the world? What have you learned about that? What's most important?
Not to be afraid, just be yourself.
And how do you get past the fear if I put myself out? How do you get past it?
With a lot of support.
So are you good at asking for help?
Oh yeah.
Good. Because I think one of my children was not good at asking for help. And
really?
ended up breaking both arms within 3 weeks of each other. At the age of 11.
God.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And so we went to my friend who is a medium, a psychic, who was the godmother, and she said, "You're not good at asking for help." If you could ask for help, you would not have had to break either one of your arms. Is that amazing?
Oh, my gosh, oh, both arms. I can't imagine.
Both arms, yeah.
That's a tough lesson to
like
learn.
We said, everybody has challenges, huh?
That's right.
But I think a lot of people have trouble asking for help, and that is a really wise piece of information, Chase, that we all need to learn to ask for help. We don't have to have a specific diagnosis. We ask for help, and then we can work as a team, and working as a team, you can get more done, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think that one of the things that's so ironically is so great about the getting that early intervention with your children when they've been diagnosed is that they learn that at a very early age, the importance of teamwork through their therapies and everything else. They learn very quickly that there are people there to help them. And I think that's a definite positive, that one of the many positives, I should say, that come out of that early intervention is learning that quality of asking for help. Something
so
we could all learn.
Yes. In my work as a psychotherapist, I have long been telling people that our earth is a giant school and we all come here in order to learn and grow. We all have lessons to learn. And I think what you're pointing up there is that just because somebody has a diagnosis, that doesn't necessarily mean something is going wrong. It means that you have extra opportunities to learn, perhaps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely feel that way. I mean, I'm an entirely different person today than I was when I had Chase, you know, almost 15 years ago now. So, you know, it's about just evolving and all of us becoming better, all of us learning through everything, recognizing, you know, that we're all sort of, that we're all connected. So I think that's one of the great things that I've gotten out of this journey as well, is it's really forced me in a good way to look outside the box and to learn and to grow and become better myself. And so for that, I'm grateful.
That's beautiful. Chase, your mom says that you have lots of wonderful things inside of your head. So I want to ask you, what do you have in your head for your future?
I would love to go to college like everyone else, and I would love to learn about filmmaking and acting. I still want to own a lot of restaurants, though.
Uh-huh. Oh, so you still want a restaurant, but you want to be a filmmaker and an actor or know something about it at any rate?
Yeah, I want to own restaurants, and I want to be a filmmaker and actor.
Okay. Now,
he's got
a
big
lot of
plans,
people,
this guy.
Yeah, well, considering that you've already done so much, I have every belief that you will do those things.
Thank
you.
So,
yeah, no, you go. Just go for it. I think it's wonderful. You know, what I'm doing in my life is my husband died this year, and that's why I sold my house. I'm selling my house, and I ordered myself an RV, and I'm going to take off and travel around the country and do my radio program from there. So I'm in the way doing the same thing you are, right? I'm going for it.
Going for it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
Because I thought, well, when you get older, if you want to have life, what do you need to do to have a good life? And it's the same thing you're talking about. You just have to go for it. You just have to listen to what's inside of yourself and then do what your intuition or your inside voice says you can do or you want to do, right?
Right. I think that if something's not meant to be, a wall will be put up in front of you. But if there's no wall, then why create one for yourself? You know, just push through and, you know, and like you said, just go for it.
There's that wisdom again. That's really wonderful. Well, we've been talking here with Chase Bailey and his mother, Mary Bailey, and Chase's website is chaseinyourface.com, C-H-A-S-E-N, YURFACE.com. And I do encourage you to check it out and look at some of the fabulous YouTube programs that you have, Chase. And
why, thank you.
I have had a wonderful time talking with you, and I can't wait to find out what else you're going to be doing in your life and how much you will accomplish by the time you're 17, for example. So I want to thank you both for sharing yourselves with the world, and Chase, putting yourself out there as a human being who's got things you want to do in your life that you're interested with, and Mary, for your tremendous support of Chase. And thank you so much. You're like lights in our world.
Right. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
This has been great. It's been a great experience.
Oh, wonderful, Mary. Thank you. Let me remind you who are listening that next week I'm talking with psychologist Victoria Bentley about sources of anxiety and how to deactivate them. We'll be here again on Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, and we look forward to sharing that with your friends and your family and you. Remember, we have our archives also, so you can listen at any time that's convenient for you, and you can subscribe to Full Power Living on iTunes, and we're so grateful to you for being part of our broadcasting family. Full Power Living's producer today is Robin Johnston of Fresh Talk Media. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
To Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.